Give him a big shot of praise this morning.
City Cinema!
Hallelujah. You guys can take your seats. The presence of God is thick in this place. Makes my job very easy. Before I get started with the message this morning, I just want to honor Pastor Leon and Esther Lee. And I know that some of you, if you're here for the first time, or if you're new to the church, and you might have seen Chris or Martin or Marie come up here, and when they take the mic, the first thing that we do is we honor. And it might sound like a little bit of a cliche. It might sound like, oh, it's an obligation that we can do it, but I can tell you that it is not. Every single one of the people that take this mic here owe our very lives to Pastor Leon and Esther Lee. And we would give our lives to them, and we do consistently on a daily basis. So just for those of you who don't know me, I thought it would just be fitting just to give you a little bit of my story. I've known Pastor Leon since 2006, and the way that we met, we were in another church together. My wife recruited me because there were no decent men there, and she tricked me into coming to church, like some of you guys too, and now you're stuck. Amen. And that's what happened to me. So she tricked me into going to a church that's Pastor Mark Bread and Comes Church. It's Destiny Harvest Center in Mshlanga. And from the moment I walked in there, I had a powerful encounter with God. And immediately, and this is something that the e-group leaders can learn, after the first service, the first person that came up to me was Pastor Leon. And he greeted me, and he said to me to get into a home cell. And just briefly, what I can say is there were two times that I can say that God has spoken to me as close to audibly as I can think. And both times he said the exact same thing. He said to me, "I want you to serve Leon." The first time was in a leadership meeting. We watched that video, which some of you guys have watched at the Leadership Night. It was Catching the Spirit of a Leader. And I was sitting next to Pastor Leon. At that time, he was not much, if I can say. He was the gopher of the church. He wasn't even a cell leader as yet. He was Pastor Mark's personal assistant. And he would go and fetch the post, and he would go for this and go for that. Okay, there was nothing glorious about him. There was another pastor there who was kind of like taking the services and who was the assistant pastor at Destiny. But as we were sitting and watching that video, God said to me, clearly as day, "I want you to serve Leon." I even got a shock. I was like, "Who's Leon?" You know? Things have changed, obviously. Somewhat. And I thank God that I obeyed that day. Because 10 years down the line, God spoke to me again. Pastor Leon had gone out and started his itinerant ministry. And without me knowing that he was going to plant a church, God came to me again and said, "I want you to move to Centurion and serve Pastor Leon's ministry." I then contacted him, and he said to me, well, coincidentally, an angel came to me and said, "I need to plant a church." That's powerful. That's powerful. So here I am today, and I thank God, and I thank Pastor Leon and Esther Lee, and I thank you guys for accepting me. This is really a privilege, and I can tell you that I stand here with much grace upon my life. And as I said before, I know that I look like I've got it all together, but I promise you, it takes much humility to be up here, and it takes much grace. Amen. Chris can say amen now because he knows. Okay, so let's get into it. This morning, you've got your notes. Does everybody have notes? We're concluding the series, Unshakable. How many of you have enjoyed the series so far? It's been good, amen. How many of you are still a little bit shaky? That's good. If you are, Just shake it off. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're concluding the message. I trust that God will do something that's going to be a powerful one. We've looked at different men of God. We've looked at Abraham was the first one in part one. Part two was Joshua's life. Part three was David's life. I know that a lot of the guys were at youth camp. But I read through the notes myself. It was a powerful message. I encourage you guys to get that if you didn't. But just as a recap, there's the 7 points that Pastor Martin covered. on David's life. So the first principle was a principle of not despising small things. The second one is the principle of embracing small and menial jobs. And no one said amen. The principle of ministering to others. The principle of not accepting something you have not tested. The principle of avoiding isolation. The principle of honoring fathers. And the principle of being quick to see and admitting your mistakes. So this morning we're going to look at the life of Jacob. There's some powerful principles here. So let's get straight into it. You know, Jacob for me is a sneaky bugger. I like it. And he finds himself in places and he puts himself in positions where usually, according to the order of the day, it shouldn't happen. He's not allowed to do the things that he does. But you know what happens? Jacob gets blessed because of it. He says, I'm not going to fit into the mold of religion. I'm not going to fit. If that's you this morning, you can't stay in the mold of religion. If you want to have an encounter with God, you've got to break open the box. Amen. So this morning, I want you to get the Sunday morning off of you. Just shake it off. Get rid of the Sunday morning. You're allowed to get a bit excited. It's church after all. Amen. Amen. I know I look like a pastor, but maybe the jacket will come off just now. Then the anointing of my Father will come upon me. So, principle one, the principle of having a personal encounter with God. You know, I was thinking, look at that. Encounter Christian Church. That is what we are about. This is not mediocre Christian Church. This is not play Christian Church. This is not religious Christian Church. This is encounter. And I pray that my God will give you an encounter this morning with Him. Amen. One encounter with God can change your life forever. Genesis 28, verse number 12 to 13 and then 15 to 16. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The angels of God are in this place this morning. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Jacob came to a place where he had an encounter with God, because God was in that place. It's imperative this morning that you know that you can come into this place, and we cannot ride on someone else's experience with God. It is imperative that you have your own personal encounter with God. I can tell you that Pastor Leon has had many encounters with God. The leadership of this church has had many encounters with God. But it's imperative that you have your own encounter. Out of that experience builds a foundation that makes you unshakable. Amen. Without ever talking to someone or spending time with someone, you cannot really have authority to talk about them because you do not truly know them. We're talking about your relationship with God here. So power and authority can only come from the closeness and from having spoken to someone personally. Jacob had power with men because he had power with God. He had been close to God and he had spoken to God. From henceforth, his words and his actions we're going to carry much power. You know, you can feel when, and I hope I'm not like this, so please, Jesus, help me. But you can feel when there's weight in someone's words. Have you been to a church service? Well, he sounds like a mouse. Have you been there? Where someone takes the microphone and he says, I bind you. And even the mouse aren't scared of him. Never mind the devil. That happens because someone has had a personal encounter with God. And nothing can take that away. You know, people can come to you. They can say your God doesn't exist. They can say this prophecy thing is witchcraft. They can say your pastor is full of demons. They can say what they want. But if you've had an encounter with God, that cannot be taken away from you. Amen. The second principle, I pray that you receive impartation today, because if there's one thing that I can give, it is this principle. So be open to receive. It's the principle of not giving up. Genesis 32, verse 26 to 28. Am I going too fast? Are you guys good? I haven't done this before, I promise you. Sorry? No, it's fine. You guys have got notes. I really haven't done this before. Genesis 32, verse 26 to 28. I'm doing the best I can. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. This is Jacob having a little tussle with God. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. From his mother's womb, Jacob had a tenacity on the inside of him. He grabbed the hold of his brother's leg in order to get out of the womb first. I think that's where he got the name deceiver, right there. That's where Esau was going out the womb first, and Jacob says, I'm going. I want the blessing. You hold on. He lied to his father. Do you guys know that story? His father says to him, okay, I'm going to bless Esau. I've got one blessing. I'm going to bless him, okay? But first, what I want you to do is I want you to go into the... I'm not going to share that secret with you. Maybe you'll pick it up. I'm not. You're going to go into the field. First, give me that which I love, and then I will bless you. And five people got that. Okay. And he said, go make me some... Go hunt and make me some... Make me some venison, okay? Because I like venison. And Chris said, amen. And while Esau's out in the field busy hunting and preparing the venison, Jacob quickly goes to his mother and says, hey, mommy, like, sort me out here. And his mom makes him a dish. And then he goes, and Esau is so ugly that Jacob has to put animal skin on him. Imagine you're so hairy that your brother has to put animal skin on you, on himself, so that he can, when Jacob touches him, he can feel and think that it's Esau. That's far more hairy than any Portuguese man. Amen. So Jacob was so deceptive. He wanted the blessing that was due to Esau, that he even lied deceptively. But it worked. He lied to his father and acted as if he was Esau, simply to steal the birthright. As if that wasn't enough for Jacob, he finally got the opportunity to wrestle with God. And he didn't just wrestle with God for an hour or two. It says that he wrestled through the nights. All this for one thing. There was one common denominator. Jacob wanted the blessing. How many of you this morning want a blessing from God? It takes a spiritual tenacity. It takes a fighting spirit. Amen. He got it. In verse 28, it says that Jacob prevailed. I wrote here, as Christians, we need to develop a spiritual tenacity. At the top of page 3, I said tenacity means the quality of being very determined, of being persistent, Other words used to describe tenacity are single-mindedness, determination, strength of will, firmness of purpose, having a bulldog spirit. Not a chihuahua, not a Paris Hilton purse dog, a bulldog spirit. Tirelessness, persistence, firmness, patience, purposefulness, steadfastness, diligence, and relentlessness. The easiest way to beat the enemy is to outlast him. Though you may fall 7 times, you choose to get back up 8 times. Let it be said of you this morning, he just does not know how to give up. Or if I was her, I'd have thrown in the towel a long time ago. Let's become a people who outlast the attacks of the enemy, the naysayers, and the critics. Let's wrestle through the night, just as Jacob did. Amen. And this point will sort of continue you onto the last point. It kind of ties in together. You know, something Pastor Leon says very often, he says, if you weren't born with it, fight for it. And I receive that. There's many people that I know with a much greater calling upon their life, but they cannot fight like I can. They cannot pursue. They cannot press in. And the thing is, gifts and talents are one part of the calling of God. The other part is relentlessness. How much do you want it? How much do you want it? Amen. The principle of tithing. This works. Trust me, this works. Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22. I was actually meant to give a little bit of a testimony. You know, since I've been here, I won't show you my bank account. But if I do, you will know that it does not look anything like it looked before I got here. And that's coupled with two things. The first is tithing, and the second is association. The exact location of the anointing. I can tell you, if you align yourself with this place, if you align yourself with encounter and you begin to tithe, you know, there's one place in the Bible where it says we can test God, and it's in our finances. And you even see it here with Jacob. And most people don't even see this. In Genesis 28, verse 20 to 22, it says, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God. So what does that mean? He puts a condition on it. The audacity of Jacob to put a condition of it. But he understood something. He said, God, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. You know, in Psalm 50, and Pastor Leon has shared this before, Psalm 50, I think it's verse 15, it says, in the day of my trouble, I will make a vow to you, and you will deliver me. I will pay my vow, and you will deliver me. There's a condition. So it's like us saying in this place, God, if you come through, if you do this for me, I will tithe. You're not getting it. But the opposite is true. If God comes through for you and you do not tithe, I can't even say the grace, because there's no grace in tithing. May the mercy of God be upon you, because I promise you the exact opposite will happen. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I may come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. This is the first book of the Bible. So people who have a problem with tithing and with the law saying, oh, it's a law thing, this blows it right out of the water. This is a principle. It's the principle of tithing. One of the things to follow about Jacob is to follow him in making a covenant to pay your tithes. Jacob made a covenant with God, and in this covenant, he promised to do 3 things. Number one, he promised to serve God. Number two, he promised to build his house. We all know the scripture where God said that your finances like falls through your pockets because you have ordained your house, but you have neglected to build mine. Thank God that we have people in this place. Look at this beautiful building that built God's house. Amen. Only God could provide his needs. Only God could protect him. And only God could help him by being with him. In exchange for these, he promised to fully pay his tithes. He was a businessman and knew the implications of a contract. Most people do not know. The thing is about tithing, what we don't understand, it's covenants. It's based on covenants. Covenants, another word, is contract. God has a responsibility and you have a responsibility. Amen? It's like when you go to a workplace, you sign an employee contract. The employer's responsibility is to pay you a salary at the end of the month. The employee's responsibility is his job responsibilities. It's to arrive at work on time. It's to do his work well. It's to work with other employees. It's to make sure that he completes his tasks by certain deadlines. There's no difference with our covenant with God and with finances. God's responsibility is to look after us. It's to bless us. But our responsibility is one thing. We have one responsibility. That's to pay our tithe. But many people expect God to fulfill his responsibility without us fulfilling ours. Imagine if I just don't go to work for the entire month, then come the 25th, I'm like disgusted because I don't get a salary. You're going to be fired. John, what it's three, is it 3 days? Huh? I think it's 3 days. God's got more grace than that. 3 days you don't go to work, you're fired. Absconded. AWOL. Absent without leave. Cheers. You're out. No salary. But yet, that's how we treat God. We think that God, bless my finances, Jesus. Please help me. Please. But yet, we don't pay our tithes. If you can get one thing this morning, I promise you, 90% of our problems are this thing right here. I can say it because I know. 90% of my problems are not taken care of. That's why I can stand up here carefree, because money is sorted out. We don't like to talk about this, but I promise you, if I look across the room here, for 90% of us, if your finances are sorted out, sure, you'll be doing a lot of things for God. Amen? Depression will come off of you. A weight will come off of you. Your marriage will get better. Your relationship and your family will get better. Most people do not know what God does for them. This is why they fail to tithe on everything they have. There were three main ingredients in the covenant of tithing. It was a covenant that displayed his great understanding of what God does for us. He knew that these were three things that only God could do for them. Many people do not, that's on the top of page 4. Are you guys okay? You good? Are you enjoying church this morning? So am I. Many people do not know the invisible power that is released on their behalf as they pay their tithes. He protects us, he provides for us, and he is with us to help us in all the affairs of life. This is the blessing of the tithe, and Jacob understood that great blessings were released through the covenant of tithing. It's like an invisible force, you know? It's like when I pay my tithe, I just know that I'm in covenant with God. So when something happens, and this is why we're talking about it in the series Unshakable, because when a suggestion comes, when something comes that brings the suggestion of a shaking in your life, you can call on that backup because you know that you've got a covenant with God. You can call on him. You can say, God, but you are my provider. I have a covenant with you. I need you to come and rescue me from this situation. And instantly the power of that thing will come. Amen. Number 4, the principle of allowing God to work all things out for his good. In other words, surrender. Genesis 30, verse 31 to 34. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, and he's about to gamble. So if you've got an issue with gambling, Jacob gambled with God. I mean, really. So Oh, now we got people. Oh, sorry. Forgive me. Please don't gamble, okay? Put the feedback card back, okay? Thank you very much. I do not condone gambling. Please, I don't need a rebuke to say. Jeez. So he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown one among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled sheep among the goats. And these shall be my wages. So he's talking to Laban. Jacob's talking to Laban here. And Laban's about to get done in very badly by God. And Jacob, knowing that God is for him, knowing that he's in covenant with God, he says, okay, let's make a little bit of a gamble. He says, so Laban says, I owe you some stuff. What can I give you? So he says, no, don't worry. You just give me all the spotted and the speckled sheep. And in that day, it was, I think it's still today, if I might be corrected, but the percentages are like, it's like less than 3%. It's like 1 out of 100. Something like that, okay? Where you get a spotted or speckled sheep amongst the flock. And so Jacob says to him, knowing, it's like inside of him, I can just picture Jacob. He's like, watch what God's going to do now. And he says to Laban, don't worry, you just give me all the spotted and speckled sheep and you keep all the pure. And also, the spotted and speckled were impure, according to that time. So my righteousness, and these shall be my wages. So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. You see what he says? My righteousness will answer for me in time to come. He knew the power of the covenant. When the subject of my wages comes before you, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. So Laban says, cool, we got a deal. This famous story shows Jacob subjecting himself to God's ability to prosper him. He did not ask Laban for 500 or 600 sheep as his reward. And you know, he was due that. I mean, the guy served 7 years. Laban tricked him, gave him the ugly daughter. And he's like, okay, it's fine, I'll just serve another. I'll be like, Jesus, I'll shoot the guy. He says, no, it's cool. And he was due a proper reward. But he subjected himself to the uncontrollable factors of reproduction. He said, just give me any spotted and speckled sheep and goats that are born. What a gamble. If the sheep that were born were not spotted or speckled, Jacob would have nothing indeed. A much safer contract would have been asked Laban for 5 or 10% of the flock. Laban, of course, was happy to have such a contract. He had no idea that God would make the spotted and speckled sheep multiply until most of the flocks were spotted and speckled. Amen. And so it is that the enemy will be confused. And that Laban gets upset because of this. It's like he looks at Jacob and he's like, what did you do to me? Did you trick me? He tricked me. Yes, he did. He tricked you because he's got God on his side. And you should have known that when you dealt with a warrior of God. Amen. Through subjecting himself to these uncontrollable factors of destiny, Jacob subjected himself to God's providing hand. Most of us are not trusting enough to allow God to take control and prosper us the way he wants to. We have to make a move. We have to intervene. We have to speed things up. You know, when people speak against us, it's like we have to intervene. We have to go and we have to sort it out. We have to confront them and say, how dare you do this? How dare you do that? But you know what? There's something powerful that happens when a false accusation comes upon you. Those people are pushing you towards your destiny. You know, this is something that I had to learn. And I was telling Danae came over to our house last night. I was telling her that point number two, the spiritual tenacity, can actually fight this one. Because, and I think Chris is very much like me. We confident, we're bold. And what often happens with people like that is we tend to sometimes take matters into our own hands. And in a setting where you're going to be a minister, that's the very worst thing you can do. And the ability to learn to surrender, to say, God, come in this place, have your way this morning. I give you total control. And in our lives, it's the same thing. You know, sometimes we can push and we can do things, but the ability to surrender shows a sign of maturity upon someone's life. And I can tell you, and Pastor Leon will tell you, every single time, you know, he learned something as a minister that we don't have to learn. We can learn off of his learnings. You know, he would say that he found this consistent thing where he would pray 4, 6, 8 hours before service and get prayed up. Have you ever heard that? Get prayed up. I'm going to get prayed up, okay? And he would come to the service and nothing would happen. So where he would sleep, he would relax and he would come up here and close his eyes and lift up his hands and say, God, I give you full control. I surrender. I cannot do this in my own strength. I need your Holy Spirit. And the power of God would rush in, would move in, and those were his most powerful services. So let us learn to surrender. And I just wrote here 1 or 2 points. Time is your biggest vindication. You know, Psalm 43 verse 1, and David goes into it. That's not on you. I'm just adding that. David says, vindicate me, O Lord. And he's talking about his accusers. And there's been many times where people have said things or there's been a situation. And all I know is that time will vindicate. If you are steadfast, if you are one that stays, if you are loyal and you will remain, I promise you that God will move on your behalf. You know, sometimes we're so focused on the end prize, which is good. We must always be focused on the end prize. But we're so focused on grabbing a hold of what God has for us. And the thing is if we're more committed to fulfilling the prophecies of our lives, then we are committed to a relationship with God, something is messed up here. And we quick to believe that God is the Alpha, meaning that he knew us in our womb and he's got a destiny plan for us. So we're quick to believe that. But why are we not quick to believe that he is the Omega, the one who is well able to complete the work which he has begun in our lives? It takes a surrender to say, God, I give you full control. Listen, when I came here, I said maybe. I knew that the call of God would begin to be activated upon my life. I said, you know what, maybe. What did I say? A minimum a year. I said, a year to 2 years, 8 months. I've never looked so good in my life. Not even at my wedding, I looked this good. You know, the Bible says that the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't say the years, it doesn't say the decades, it doesn't say the century, it doesn't say, although we might have a picture of the end in mind, God never reveals fully what is going to happen in between. How many of you have learned that? And so our job is to surrender to the footsteps. What is a footsteps? It's something that's happening right now. So we surrender, we say, okay, God, what am I doing now? What is the next step? God reveals that next step. I take that next step. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. That's when you truly begin to surrender. If God says, you know, recently something happened to me. I had a dream. I told my wife I had a dream. And Pastor Leon has done some powerful dream interpretation, so now I understand it a little bit. I was in high school, but I was the age that I am now. Okay, so doesn't make sense. Okay. And I knew that it was like we were busy taking exams, and I knew that, like, I thought to myself, geez, I've passed this test already. It wasn't because I'd failed the test and I'd gone back and had to redo it. I had passed this test. I knew that I'd passed this test. It was like it didn't make sense that I had to redo this thing. And as I woke, God said to me that he would take me into a place for a season where where although I've passed the test to sense my loyalty, to sense my commitment to the call of God, that I would begin to have to do things that I've already been past. And that exact thing happened to me. And what it took for me was to say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. I really don't want to do this thing. Like, I really don't want to do it. But the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And I trust God that He is faithful, that He knows what He is doing upon my life. And I don't take things into my own hands. Number five, the principle of speaking your future into existence. Genesis 49, verse 1 to 2. And Jacob called to his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in these last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Jacob is famous for the blessings and declarations he spoke over his many children before he died. He had come to believe in the power of declared blessings. He knew that God would honor the words of a father when they were spoken with faith. Words of blessings override the effects of your background, your education, and your job. Declarations of blessings lift you above the contours and circumstances over this world. When you are about to fail, you will somehow be lifted up by the blessings upon your life. You know, when I was here for about 3 months, I remember there was a prayer meeting at the old building. And as a whiny Christian, I went to my daddy and I started complaining. Obviously, I'm the only one who does that. So I said to him, oh, things are not happening. I mean, geez, it was 3 months, really. What did I think was going to happen? I said, nothing's happening. You know, this one's being used by God and that one's being used by God and this and that. And I don't even know if I want to pursue the things of God. I don't know why I came here, this, that, whatever. Of course, none of you are saying amen, so you've never gone through this. There's people sitting here that are going through this right now. And we're going to break the power of that thing this morning. And he said to me, and he just encouraged me. It was like a weight had lifted off of me. And I was speaking to him and he said, you know what, don't worry about the call. The call is there, it's not going anywhere. When you begin to minister, and I can truly say that now being up here, it's like grace, I purposefully did not overplan. I'm the opposite of Martin. When you step into that place, when you begin to minister, when you begin to preach or whatever it is, or step into the will of God, those things will automatically come upon you. You see, it's called a gift for a reason. And what he said to me, he just gave me some advice. And he just said a few things. He just said, don't worry. You've got the call of God upon your life. God will use you. Just do this and this and this. And it was like immediately a weight had lifted off my shoulders. And he encouraged me. And I just knew that I was backed not only by heaven, but by my Father. Amen. And I remember when I really practiced this thing with my first child, Cassia. I can even picture now in that we stayed in like a duplex. And I would constantly, when I would put her to sleep, I would pray over her and declare blessings. Declare that she'll be a woman of God. Declare that she'll be mightily used by God when she grows up. Declare that she would have encounters with God. And it just happened that even at a young age, she's already had two visitations from Jesus. She knew the one, this is a sad note, but it's a fun story, so I'll tell it anyway. So the one was, Melissa had picked her up, my wife had picked her up from school the one day. And you have to run like in the parking and she has to get into the car. So as she's running, she's saying, come, Jesus, come, come. So Melissa's like, what is going on here? Oh, yeah, come play with me, come play with me. And then you asked her what happened. And she said, no, Jesus is over there. He was playing with me. And this was the first encounter we had. And then when we stayed in Durban, we stayed in a right next door to a strong Hindu place. There was a Hindu temple, like one of the biggest in Durban. And they used to have these, like once a year, this like all-night demonic ritual. It's the only way I can explain it. And there would beat drums in, and the atmosphere would get very heavy, like very, very heavy. And and whenever that happened, we learned that like it was going to be a tough night. She would like struggle to sleep. And obviously we did whatever we could to control the atmosphere. But the one time, so sometimes she would talk about how she would have, she would see like a dark figure, or she would say the bad man. She would say, I see the bad man, he's there. And then we'd pray and rebuke it, and the thing would go. The one time, it was also with you, the one time she says, so she calls us, she said, Mommy, the bad man was here. But then the lion came. And the lion roared and scared the bad man away. Now listen, she was 3 years old at the time. She does not know the Lion of Judah. For her to see that, we said, was it a good? She said it was a good lion. She wasn't scared of the lion. That's powerful, amen. So declare the power of declaring blessings over your family. Those of you who are parents in this place, do not cease. That is actually your number one ministry, is to raise those children in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Jacob understood the power of proclaiming blessings and used them effectively to have a successful life. Just close our eyes. I declare and I decree over every single person in this place, the words that have been spoken against them, I break the power of those words in the name of Jesus. I declare blessings over them as they are connected to this house. I declare that today, that everything that has been shaken in their life will cause them to become unshakable in the name of Jesus. You can praise Him for that. And the last point, we're on the principle of giving many years of your life to fulfill your vision. I wrote here, don't be distracted. This isn't on your notes, but it's good, so you can write it down. Don't be distracted by the temptation of short-term success. Be rooted in the things of God. Genesis 29 verse 20 says, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. You know, we were talking last night, and we were listening to some of the worship music that that I used to listen to when I first got saved, and when we would pray and listen to that stuff. And I got a revelation. I got saved in 2006, and it's 11 years down the line now. And God has done much, but guess what? He's only begun. He's only begun. And I can say the same for you. You've connected yourself to this place. God has only begun to work in your life. Stay rooted. Stay firmed in this thing. I promise you, God will use you. Amen. Genesis 29, verse 27 to 28. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife also. Unfortunately, many people desire to accomplish great things in just a few years. They aren't willing to go through the necessary process of preparation. They wish to bear fruits and to achieve all that God has shown them in 2 or 3 years. But there is nothing like that. Your dream requires your life. It involves your whole life. The purpose of God for your life is such that it requires your whole life in order to be accomplished. And the thing is, God takes us from glory to glory. So at one stage of my life, I would say that this, what is happening this morning, I would say I've reached a level where I've attained. But now that I stand here, it's like this is so small. There's a bigger place that God has taken me. There's a higher place. And the thing is, And the thing is, if you understand that, even if you do reach a milestone, God is going to begin to reveal more to you. And then you're going to want to attain that. And when you attain that, God is going to reveal more to you. And you're going to want to attain that. Does that make sense? Jacob gave up 14 years of his life to fulfill his dream of marrying Rachel. God had put it in his heart to love Rachel and to desire her. Indeed, it took him many years to fulfill his vision. You will need a lot of time to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, the reason for which you were born. If you want to be successful as Jacob was, plan to give several of the best years of your life to fulfill God's call and vision. Indeed, no one can achieve much in a few months or years. Your purpose often takes many years to be fully realized and achieved. So you may be asking, how many? Well, it depends on you and it depends on God. Since I got saved, there was only one way for me. Give everything. And we, to a large degree, have power or control over how much God uses us, or how quickly those things happen in our lives. And you know, there's this thing where people say, oh, you know, you're too involved in the church. You know, you should maybe just go to one service on a Sunday. Or, you're getting too radical. It's all hype. Nonsense. That is complete rubbish. The way that God will use us is to be fully immersed in every single thing that he has to offer. I will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. If there's a prayer meeting, you will find me here. If there's an e-group, you will find me there. If there's services on a Sunday, if there's a conference, you will find me here. And just to close off, in the words of Sir Winston Churchill, never give up, never give up, never give up. Let's stand.